The title is Procedural Modeling of Urban Road Networks, and the authors are Jan Bennett, Alexander Victor, and Jaroslav Krivanek. And the presentation will be given by Jan Bennett.
So, hello everybody. My name is Jan Bennett. Thanks for the introduction. And I will be talking today about growing cities. And when I say growing cities, what I really mean is growing roads in and around cities. Our paper is not concerned with growing buildings or other stuff that happens in and or around cities. The first goal of our paper is to grow cities that have, in our opinion, a more realistic structure. And by that we mean cities that have suburbs, cities that have nice naturally occurring belt roads, cities that have a meaningful main road structure, that means the main roads actually take you places as they would in a real city. Cities that have a nicely irregular urban fringe. Cities that are actually conurbations and agglomerations that come to exist by letting several smaller settlements grow together. And finally, cities in which the minor road pattern changes with time. So in the historical city center, you have a more organic pattern or whatever you please. And you have a different minor road pattern on the outskirts. That's our first goal. Our second goal is to only generate cities with a minimal input. And the reason this is important is sometimes you want to generate cities automatically without having a new set of inputs for each instance of a city that you generate. So computer games is the obvious application. And the input to our method is an elevation map and what we call is a historical context, which is a set of functions and parameters that are shared between all the cities within a region over time. So if you just have one historical context, you can generate a number of cities with very similar features, let's say, in a country. And on the other hand, our method does not take as its input any population maps or other demographic maps. And it does not take as its input any road maps or road sketches. So that's our second goal, minimal input. And I will now go over the previous work that we build upon. And we start, of course, with the seminal paper by Mueller in 2001, which is a user-guided method that takes as its input a population map and a street pattern map. And it gives you a city at a certain point in time. It does not give you the progression of a city. That was rectified by Weber in 2009, who actually gives you the progression of a city as it grows over time, and it uses local traffic simulation to achieve that. And the nice thing about this method is that it's controllable while also being automatic, sort of in a similar sense like the minimal input and historical context we've been talking about. Another work is by Vanegas in 2009, and that's an interactive method that takes as its input a map of highways, a set of demographic maps, and a set of constraints over these maps, and it then uses a dynamical system to generate parts of the demographic maps that the user didn't actually care about, and sort of marries that together with the road geometry. Another paper that we build upon is by Emilian in 2012, and what they do is they generate villages over terrain, and what we really like about this paper is that the villages are positioned. That means there's fishermen's villages on the lakeside, and there's villages on mountaintops close to fortifications. And then these villages get connected by a sparse road network. So in a sense, you will see that it's the opposite sort of what we do in our paper. And there's also some other methods that deal with cities. There's cities for example-based city generation. There's cities that generate land use within and around cities. There's methods for interpolation of historical maps. And there's also methods for a lot of other aspects of procedurally modeling cities. So our contributions are that we believe we grow a more cities with a more realistic structure. We consider the neighborhood of cities. We have trade-driven major roads, and these major roads run over both terrain and water, and you will shortly understand why that is important. And it is these major roads that drive the initial placement of settlements and the shape of the cities. And these cities, these smaller settlements that we grow, eventually form conurbations, much like real cities do. So we now move on to the rationale behind our method. And we believe the idea behind the paper is what the paper is really about. So there's some technical details, but we think the rationale is what's really important. And we grow the city sort of from first principles. So first, we ask ourselves what it is that drives city shape. And if you take a look on the right side, there's a map of populated areas in and around Chicago in early 20th century. And you can see the small dots that get formed on lines emanating from the city center. And these actually turn out to be populated areas around stations on railway lines. And what this tells us is that city growth actually happens around these stations. And we can show a similar thing for highways later on. So the second question that this leads to is, where does the growth actually happen? And hopefully it's by now obvious that it happens in places that are easily accessible, such as the stations or intersections. And it is also happening in places that have that are well suited for service. That means places like ports, where changes of mode of transportation happen, or at intersections. And we call these places that are accessible and well suited for service, we call these the nuclei of growth. And out of the previously mentioned nuclei of growth, we only consider in our algorithm the major road intersection and ports. We currently do not consider stations. And we notice that both of these happen on major roads, so we will mainly be concerned with major roads from now on. And now to make a quick detour into city history, we ask ourselves the question, why do cities even exist? And the answer to that is that historically there were cities on very fertile land that started, or settlements on very fertile land that started to generate surplus. And they could either let the surplus go to waste or they could trade it. So what they did is they actually traded it, and that led to city growth. And the takeaway message from that is that trade is a consistent and key factor in city growth across cultures and across historical periods. So without trade, there is no city growth ever. So what we do is we simulate major roads using a trade simulation between neighboring cities. You will see that in a moment. And aside from major roads, we also simulate minor roads. And here we make a small observation, that is that minor road patterns change with time. You can see the historical city of Avignon on top. And you can see that in the historical part, the road network, the minor road network is more organic and it gets more geometrical and regular as time progresses. And we understand that this is a simplifying assumption and that there are other factors such as land use and terrain, but this simplifying assumption has worked out well enough for us. So that was the rationale, and we will now quickly overview the method. So we start our process with an empty map. That's the initialization phase. And we first generate a number of notional unsimulated neighboring cities. That's the gray dots. And we connect these cities by major roads, and that generates what we call an initial road network in yellow. And that's the initialization phase, and now we go get to how we actually grow the city. And what we do here is we first generate nuclei of growth, red, on all major road intersections. Around these nuclei of growth, we then grow minor roads, that's the city itself. We then do a trade simulation between the neighboring cities, so not within the city, but between the neighboring cities. And what we finally do is, if the trade cannot be supported by the existing infrastructure, by the existing major roads anymore, what we do is we build a new major road that usually goes around the city. It can also reuse the existing minor road network. And then we simply go back and do further simulation steps as required. So that was an overview of the method, and let's take a look at it now more formally. So we start with an empty map, and we generate the number n of neighboring cities, and for each city we generate an array that points in the direction of those neighboring cities, and to randomize it we rotate all of them by an angle phi, and then each of them individually by a different angle theta, and finally extend these rays and intersect them with the border of the map to get the actual neighboring cities, the points that represent the neighboring cities A, B, C, D, and E here. And to make things a little bit more interesting, we add a smaller lake in the top right corner. So that means that now the city E is only accessible over water. And we start building the initial road network. So we try to connect roughly opposite cities. We start with AC, Second, we do BD, and notice a little bit of road reuse here. Then we do CE, and again, notice that a part of the major road network now runs over water. And we do this until all of the cities are connected. And to add a little bit more variation to this, because this would be deterministic, what we do is we relax the term opposite, so we don't go for cities that are as opposite as possible, but close to opposite. And we shuffle the order in which we build the connecting major roads. And this yields a nice variety of initial road networks that we can grow our cities from, as you can see here. So next we move on to the nuclei of growth, and we generate one for each major road intersection. We also generate one nuclei of growth for each port, and then we generate a random small number of nuclei of growth close to the existing ones. So this is where our city will grow from. And now imagine you already have a minor road network in the bottom corner with a number of intersections that new minor roads can grow from in blue, and our nuclei of growth. And what we want to be able is to find the n intersections that we will actually be growing our minor roads from. And what we do here is we assign a probability to each of these intersections based on how far away they are from the nuclei. The closer you are, the more probable it is that the intersection will get selected. So let's say n is 2, so we roll a dice, and these are the two, the blue ones are the two intersections that we choose to grow new minor roads from. So let's say this is the one and only that we want to grow new minor roads from. And what we do now is we use a method that's very similar to what Mueller and Weber did. We have a distribution of directions, and we use these to generate and to propose a new minor road direction, like this. And we then simply go ahead and build the road. Oh, sorry. And we then apply a number of constraints to this proposal, such as the minimum and maximum degree, or the minimum and maximum angle between minor roads. And then we build the road. Only before we actually build it, we also see if it's a good fit for the existing minor road network. So maybe it's too long, and then we need to cut it, or it's too short, and then we need to extend it, or it is close but not close enough, and then we need to snap it. So that's growing minor roads. And we now move on to the trade simulation. So as said, we simulate trade between the neighboring cities. And notice that we have added a new major road here on the map. And say we want to simulate trade between only two highlighted cities. So what we have is trade routes, that is paths across the graph that connect these two cities here in green. And we can have one, but usually we have more than one, like these two. And the amount of trade that flows across these trade routes is actually also part of the historical context of the set of parameters that is shared across a number of cities. And now the most important question is what happens if these trade routes are full, if no more trade can flow across them. So what we do first is we try to see if we can reroute the traffic over the existing road network. And we can sometimes do that, but not always. So what happens if we cannot do that is that we propose a new major road in red, and then we propose a new trade route here in blue. So how do we do that? We start with what Galin did in his paper, and we overlay the terrain with a regular graph. And now if we want to find the shortest or a route between two vertices, we can simply run curvature and elevation of our shortest path algorithm. We extend that by adding a water graph on water, harbor edges that connect these two graphs so that you can change the mode of transportation. And then we overlay the existing road network. This is both minor roads and major roads, but we only show major roads for clarity. And we sketch the neighborhood of these here in red. And we then remove all of the edges and vertices that are in this neighborhood, only to finally stitch these two graphs together to yield one final pathfinding graph that we use instead. And here, trying to find the shortest path between these two highlighted cities, we yield a new path that partially is over the existing road network in solid red and partially leads over unbuilt roads in dashed red. So that's the new major road that we will be building. So to recapitulate, we start by generating a number of neighboring cities in the initialization phase. We then build the initial road network. It's the end of the initialization. We add nuclei of growth on the major road network. We then select intersections from which to grow new minor roads. We grow these minor roads, Then we run a trade simulation step. And if we happen to not be able to run any more trade over these existing trade routes, what we do is we do some graph magic to propose a new major route and a new trade route, and then go back to the first step of the simulation. Of course, if the trade is not large enough and we don't need to build a new network, we don't do that. So that was our method, and I will now move on to the results and conclusions. So this is one of our first results. You can see the two suburbs that have naturally spawned without any user intervention. You can see the nicely irregular urban fringe. You can see that there is a major road that actually leads outside of the city for the most part, which is something the existing algorithms would not be able to generate automatically. We'd have to have the user sketch it. And you also have a minor road network that is different in the older parts of the cities, that's the darker blue, and is newer, is more regular in the newer parts of the city. That's the rectangle. So our second result, again, what I would like you to notice here is that it has nice urban gaps, that is areas within a city that are unpopulated, such as big parks and other areas, and those happen without having any forbidden region maps or anything else. They just happen naturally and are emergent. We also have a nicely irregular urban fringe, again. We have two almost complete belt roads, again, without any planning or without any user intervention. And I will now show you how this city grows. If I can. Okay. So you can see that the city starts from three separate initial settlements and eventually grows a new major road and spawns a couple of suburbs that eventually get absorbed into the city itself. And notice how at each step of the simulation, the city actually is plausible. So you do get real progression. And then again, new belt roads are built. And also notice the more complex intersection structures, which is also a side effect. But it's a side effect that would actually happen also in real life. So it was a progression of city growth, one of our results. And another result that I would like to show is this one. And what's really important here is the four ports that you see. And these have only been built because we run a trade simulation between the neighboring cities. And you can see the most important thing about it is that it actually creates a disconnected city, a city that exists on two sides of a lake, which again is something the existing algorithms would not do without user intervention at all. And this is also what happens in real life. Again, I would like you to consider that it is the trait and it is the nuclei of growth also in real life that stimulate and drive the shape of a city. Cities never start growing from the middle of the map. So to conclude, we generate more realistic cities. We make the assumption that trade is a key factor across cultures and across historical time periods. Our major routes are trade-driven and run over both water and terrain. The fact that they run over water is important because that creates nuclei close to ports. And this drives the settlement placement. And these settlements eventually grow together to form a new city, much like real cities do. Just look at Los Angeles or even Zurich. And finally, our approach only requires minimum input, so it's well suited for generating larger batches of cities that have similar properties. So say you want to populate the map of Germany with a bunch of cities, you only need one set of parameters, the historical context, and you're pretty much done. So in the future, what we would really like to do is add further modes of transportation, especially public transportation, so that we can have stations that supply us with further nuclei of growth. We would also like to incorporate land use because currently we do not have that. In-city transportation, which obviously plays some role, even though we were able to generate cities without it. And finally, for a method that generates city progressions, we think it's really important to consider redevelopment because that's what most of the longer existing cities do, such as the Haussmannian reconstruction of Paris. And it's something none of the previous work has really addressed. So with this, I conclude the presentation itself. You can find the paper, a number of videos, and supplemental materials on my website. And I would like to thank the grant agency of the Charles University in Prague for supporting me in this research. And I would like to thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Jan. We have time for questions. Please come to the microphone.
Thanks a lot for the presentation. It was super nice.
Thank you.
I have two questions.
Go ahead.
The first one is about like the distribution of cities which is exposed by the initialization step, the approach. Like, what would you do if you had to generate an urban road network at the scale of a country?
Mm-hmm.
Because like then, this initialization step, which supposes the emerging city in the shape of a star, will suppose also a distribution of cities like in a beehive pattern.
In a beehive pattern?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not entirely sure I know what you're asking, but I'll try to answer anyway. So I think what you're asking is, what do you do if you cannot place cities behind the city behind the map borders, and if you just do not have anything to generate the initial road network from? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, it's like how does it compare with the real world city distribution?
Okay, so I think the problem there is that we have only been able to generate cities on smaller maps, so that's like 8 by 8 kilometers. And the algorithm, it actually takes between 2 and 4 minutes for one city at the moment for the whole progression, and we do not think it would scale to larger sizes, so we do not really have a larger scale comparison here.
What does it take so much time?
It takes so much time because the stitching part, the part where you remove parts of the existing pathfinding graph, is sort of expensive because you have to do a lot of intersections so that there's no artifacts in the resulting network. So that's the most expensive part about it.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is, you've shown like a really nice results of city growth.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the granularity of this growth? Like, do you have
Okay. So what we do is, at each step of the simulation, we have a number of intersections that we grow minor roads from. And this number is a part of the set of parameters, the historical context. And this is basically how much the city grows every step. So maybe you grow 500 new roads every step. And that's the granularity of city growth. So it's in minor streets per frame of simulation.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Do we have some more time? Do you want to ask something?
Very nice paper, thank you very much. It may be in the paper itself, then I apologize. Do you have any evaluation comparison to this?
Okay, that's a good question. The evaluation is mostly expert, so we have taken a look at the cities and seen if we can see the features that we expected from our cities and that appear in real life. We do not have any like real city and generated city comparison, although some of the maps are real cities. And the reason for that is that both the initial road network in itself is a randomization seed, and then there's further random steps in the process. And there's so much randomness in how the city grows that you will never be able to match a real city. So all that we can tell you is that it exhibits some features that we expect from real cities, and then it's based on existing literature, and that what we do makes sense, although it's not perfect.
Just one question. For the initial road network, can you use the terrain to make it follow the easiest route? Isn't that how the initial road
network? That's actually why the initial road network in all of the examples wasn't straight. It was a little wavy. It's because the terrain is not perfectly straight. And you usually build the initial road network very early on in time. And the major road network shape actually is also controlled by the historical context. So if you build the major road early on, it will allow curvature. You do not have transportation that needs to run fast, so you can have curved roads. As time progresses, the major roads get more smooth. So yes, you are right, the terrain also is a contributing factor to the randomness.
Okay, thanks again, the speaker. So our next paper, Template Assembly for Detailed Urban Reconstruction. And the authors are Yang Nam, Tai Kun Tian, Bernard